As our body and mind acclimatize to the silence and simplicity of retreat, just sense into what it would take to arrive. What inside you needs to be blessed with awareness, with permission, in order to fully arrive. Often, the first day of retreat, there's some part of our mind that's intimidated by the silence. It's wondering what we might be asked to feel our way through. What we might be asked to make peace with. But we don't need to brace against these possibilities, these thoughts. We just do our practice one moment at a time. We offer a sense of reassurance, the reassurance of knowing that whatever will be known, needed to be known. On this first day, we draw a very bright line that encircles the space for our attention. And within that circle, the sensations of your breathing. And outside that circle is the rest of the world. Sensing into where you perceive your breath most clearly. Mouth and nostrils. Belly. Or the whole body. Sense of the contraction and expansion with each inhalation and exhalation. And then we treat everything else not as an enemy. No experience is an enemy. Do not treat it as an enemy, but as besides the point. Everything outside of that circle of attention is like a phone ringing, but you know it's not for you, Sajjan Brahm said. If there's any pleasure, sense of relaxation or ease, sense of softening, attune to that within the breath. Sometimes I trace the ripple of relaxation of the exhale across my whole body. Smoothing out any sharp edges. Making everything outside the circle of attention feel less urgent. if the inner visual attention is darting around, sometimes can be useful just to gently focus the inner gaze at the blank mental screen behind your closed eyes. Supports a kind of intimacy with the sensations of breathing. Most illuminating sensations of your breath with awareness. It can be useful at times to make a very gentle mental note, breathing in, breathing out. Or to be very precise when the inhale begins and ends, when the exhale begins and ends. And so there are four very distinct moments of each cycle of breath. each breath. As if the Buddha is whispering in your ear. Here. Visible. Here. Now. And so many of our thoughts are like the off-gassing of feeling, of affect. The surges of motivation, of feeling, emotion, affect. Just bless that quietly with awareness. Come back to what is included in this focus space. we do our best not to be seduced by the fever dream of greed and aversion. Because there's always more we could want, and there's always forever something wrong. And so there's something like a kind of inner vow not to fiddle with samsara, this realm of delight and imperfection. Just this breath. It's nice too. Nice to practice with you. This first day of retreat, sometimes feels like it's getting into water that's too cold or too hot or too something. And the water that will come to feel quite natural, that we acclimatize to, come to feel quite soothing right now, is too hot or cold. And amidst that condition, it's very natural for our mind to look to explain the sense of wrongness and to be seduced into fantasies about what more we could have or what less we could have, what we could get rid of. And don't demonize our mind for fantasizing about a solution to the temperature of the water. But we just are patient. Keep simple and attuning to whatever ease or pleasantness there may be, even if subtle, even if surrounded by, you know, kind of like an island of some pleasantness or relaxation, surrounded by the waters of the hindrances. Just patient, gentle. And a certain kind of trust in the logic of retreat, trust in your own heart, trust in the path, as we make our way together. And who knows where insight comes from? You actually don't know. Maybe it's going to feel like today body-mind is adjusting, or maybe you just fully arrive. Don't know. But we'll be doing it together. Happy for that.
So at 9:30 this morning, in 15 minutes, there's the scheduled period for the first walking period of the retreat. And so before that, I'd like to give some instructions on walking meditation. And first I want to say that walking meditation was happening in India probably before the Buddha. And there's, in the time of the Buddha, there's records of people doing walking meditation. And if you go to, there's some places in the world, monasteries, where where they may be in the woods or someplace, that you'll see these wonderful trails in the wood that have been well-worn from all the people doing walking meditation. And the trails are about 20 or 30 feet long. And people have just walked back and forth there for a long time. And it's a wonderful practice. For some people, it seems to work better than sitting practice. Somehow the kinesthetic movement and more engaging, more compelling, and it's easier to kind of be in the moment with it. Some people, sitting practice works better. Some people find their mind wanders off in thought more in sitting. Some people find it wanders off more in walking. Some people find the mind wanders off all the time. Doesn't matter what you're doing. But there is a difference between the two. And what's really useful to know is that the alternation between sitting and walking supports the other. And so there's a way, for example, that if you sat all day, you'd be, you know, just kind of get duller and duller probably. And the walking kind of gives some energy. If you walked all day, you might have too much energy, and it might actually keep the mind kind of moving a lot. And there's all kinds of things that come into play. One of them is that I suspect that the human mind does well with alternations, with rhythms of doing something for a while and then something else. If you're always kind of always sticking to the same thing, it actually takes more effort for the mind and it doesn't have a chance to recover and rest. And so by going back and forth between sitting and walking, you get the recovery, the rest, the kind of the break, so you can come back and do the other in a nice way. And that alternation, I think it's massaging you. But the walking meditation, as I like to say, it just doesn't work. So that's nice to know. It just doesn't work if you don't do it. So you have to do it. And I say that in this kind of silly way because there are people who don't give it a try. Don't try, you know. When I was introduced to this walking meditation that we do here in Vipassana, I didn't like it. But I did it, and it was an acquired taste. For some of you, I'm sure it's going to have to be an acquired taste. And it's really well worth putting the effort in to acquire that taste. It's a really beneficial thing to learn the art of walking meditation. And it's really good. I think it's really good, this alternation between sitting and walking. And if you can, I think a very different effect than the alternation between sitting and napping, which some people do, they have to do, and that's a fine thing to do if it's really necessary. And the first day of a retreat, it's often a good time to have an extra nap or two. People are often very exhausted the first day, so please, you know, by all means. Give yourself to it, and even if you don't like it, it's one of the great lessons that parents sometimes try to teach their children. You don't have to like it to do it. And so to learn, you know, kind of to just give yourself over to something and not be seduced by your preferences or something. But it is a wonderful way, I think, eventually, to kind of drop into the body. It's a very physical thing to do the walking. And it's one of the real doorways for taking Vipassana deep, is to really be deeply connected to your body. And the body, the door, you know, Matthew said, we don't know where the insight's going to come from, but there's a long tradition that it comes from the body as opposed to the mind. So the way we do it here at the IRC is maybe different than how you've been taught, and so you're welcome to do it differently. I just give you the basic kind of approach. and some variations. But the locations is you can do it outdoors, you can do it on the deck, you can do it in the community hall. There's some people who love to do it kind of without shoes on the, you know, carpet downstairs. It's so soft and nice. Some people can find it fine to do it in their rooms. They're kind of long enough for some people. In the hallways, you know, around the rooms, it's fine. Out the public hallways, some people do it there. And so hopefully you'll find some place. Some people do it in the dining room. Maybe one or two people can do it there if nobody's having tea. You have to be a little bit careful not to get in the way of people sitting there having tea or a snack. So hopefully you can find a place that's nice for you. And the idea is that generally it's a walkway that's about 20 or 30 feet long, 20 or 30 paces long. It has a different effect than just wandering around the property doing walking meditation, which has its role. But there's something about the simplicity of just going back and forth that pretty quickly you know the route. And so some part of your mind can rest because it knows. It doesn't have to be figuring out where to step and what to look out for. It's really just there. And then generally it's nice to keep the gaze down about 45 degrees so that you don't end up doing two things at once, looking at something and trying to be with your body as it walks. So it kind of limits the amount of information you take in. If you really feel compelled to look at something while walking meditation, then stop and do looking meditation. And when you finish looking, then continue with the walking so you're not splitting your attention. And to simply to walk back and forth. And the pace that you walk with is up to you. Some people find that it works best to have a somewhat fast pace. My teacher in Burma, he literally power walked when he'd walk in meditation. I could have jogged next to him to do it. And I've known people like some of the Abhayagiri monastics who've been practitioners for decades. They're just flabbergasted that in our tradition here, we walk so slow. Like how could, you know, they kind of walk at a normal street pace when they do walking meditation. But the important thing is to find a pace that gives you a sense of ease. And that, you know, and what gives you a sense of ease will vary from walking period to walking period or even during a walking period. And so, you know, so something, some modicum of peace, you know, if you're filled with anger when you're walking meditation, maybe what it brings you a sense of ease is very different than, you know, if you're feeling kind of calm and peaceful. And maybe then faster walking meditation holds the strong emotions better. And so maybe you're walking faster. And if you walk like my teacher did, power walking, you probably should do it further away from other people so you don't frighten them. You know, or something, just kind of, you know, activate them. But it's certainly allowable. And so find a pace that brings you a sense of ease. And it's often nice when you start to have as general sensation awareness of your body, global awareness of your body as you can, if that's easy enough for you. There's something about relaxing into the global body without focusing on anything particular that might give you your mind a little more sense of being at ease and not contracted or focused or tight, you know, that now I have to get serious here and look at something, be with something. But that global relaxed awareness. So find a sense of ease, have that global awareness of the body. And after a little while, begin lowering your attention to some place where there's a real clear sense of alternating rhythm of something. There's when there's a rhythm of sensations, it's actually easier for the mind to stay on something than it is if you try to keep your attention on an unchanging, fixed sensation or object. And it's actually stressful for the mind to do that. And the primary rhythm of walking meditation that's kind of the strongest, probably, is the rhythm of the feet, legs, doing their stepping. So then you would drop your attention down and just kind of get into that, into the sensations connected to that rhythm. And it might be all the way down to your feet, maybe, if that feels really good and grounding somehow. And generally, if you're walking somewhat, if you're walking fast, it's mostly you're feeling the contact of the soles against the ground. But if you're walking a little bit slower, it's the foot that's doing the stepping. So as the foot lifts off the ground, as it moves through the air and comes down, you're kind of there in those sensations that come into play. They ripple through. and just kind of let them ripple through. And then when you shift your weight, then you switch your attention to the back foot and do it again. And if you find your mind wandering off in thought a lot, it might be useful to kind of use a mental label and just say stepping or left, right, which is kind of interesting because you'll find yourself saying right for the left foot, and then you know you've kind of slipped off. Or classic steps notes are lifting, placing. But you don't, mental noting is optional, but if your mind is really unruly, that sometimes helps it settle and has something to do and gives a thinking mind something to do rather than thinking mind wanders off. And if you find yourself really in a big thought storm or emotional storm, you can stop in your tracks and close your eyes and just take stock. Just recognize what's happening. And just taking stock might be enough then to start again and be able to be a little bit more in the walking rather than your emotional storm. So that's what I'll say for now. About the details of instruction, maybe we'll offer more through the days. But it is helpful to kind of use a continuous period of time during the walking period to do the walking. What doesn't work is to interrupt it a lot. So if you need to go to the bathroom or have tea or do something, do it at the beginning and the end. But don't like walk for 5 minutes and then have tea, walk for 5 minutes, then go to the bathroom, walk for 5 minutes, then go look at the flowers, walk for 5 minutes, and you know, then it's kind of like the tea kettle that never has a chance to boil because you keep turning off the water. And we have a couple of minutes, and I'd like to do a little exercise with you around this walking and see if that might be interesting, and about how awareness works and how you can use your attention and maybe in a little different way than you are. So it might be so fascinating, I hope. So if you would stand up, it's both a kind of little exercise for getting into walking meditation, but also just an exploration of the kind of qualities, nature of awareness itself. So as you're standing, maybe spread your legs a little bit. And if you can keep the balance easy enough, you can close your eyes. But or you can keep your eyes focused down to the floor, kind of 45 degrees. And so very gently kind of move and put your weight on one foot. And then sway back to the other side and put weight on the other foot. So just a gentle rocking rhythm, slowly back and forth. It can be as maybe slow, but just really to feel the sensations coming into play. Maybe especially the sensations as the weight begins to move onto the foot. And then very gently, just use a mental note, and as you switch your weight to the left, say in your mind, left. And as you go to the right, say the word right in your mind. And if you keep up those labels, you're a little bit less likely to wander off in thought, or you're more likely to notice that you are wandering off in thought. So keep doing this, and let yourself be cognizant of that you're switching attention to the left foot and switching to the right. But rather than making the mental note, see if just before you make the mental note, there's a little kind of silent, quieter, little something in your mind that recognizes something that prompts the note, left, right. So just before you say left and right, is there something like that, you know, you already know that it's left and right before you say the word, that's quieter than the mental note? And if there is, now stop doing the mental note and just stay with that quieter, pre-mental note kind of knowing. And that pre-note, pre-thinking knowing, think of it as an open door in which the sensations of the feet are pouring through. And let them just come through the space of that kind of knowing. A kind of knowing that's quieter than the thinking mind. Okay, so if this did not make sense, the exercise that I did, don't worry about it. Maybe it will later and something, but for now, maybe if it did, it was interesting, it might give you some sense. Sometimes it's useful to use the mental notes, and sometimes actually more useful to tune into that which is quieter, a quieter knowing or awareness in the mind. That kind of goes maybe at a level deeper than thinking, that would highlight better when you start thinking, so that you'd maybe a little bit less likely to, you know, elope with your thinking. So thank you. So at 11 o'clock, I'll do the posture instructions. And so those of you, I'll announce it then again. But for those of you who are planning to come, if you haven't already left a note for the manager and cook, please do. And those of you know someplace else, like in the other hall, you're welcome to come in here for that. Because I think not everyone's going to stay. So there's be lots of space here for people to come. So thank you. And since you're all standing, you don't have to wait for Matthew and I. You can go.
So, dear online Sangha, and maybe this voice comes from that silent awareness as well.